thank you very much to Chairman Richardson, to Dr. Howard, and certainly our president, Dr. Lucas, and to all that have spoken and will speak, and more importantly to the students and community, presidents and leaders that are present, Brenda Cole from our chapter of Nash Action Network here in Richmond. Let me say this. I think that those that have already spoke set a historic context. But I think we need to also deal with the specific incident and where it comes from. If you have a sore on your body and it keeps growing and keeps coming, you go to a doctor to find out what under the sore causes it to keep coming. Blackface represents a deeper problem where people felt they could dehumanize and humiliate people based on their inferiority. There will be some that try and act like blackface is just some cultural thing that we would do, like some of us used to wear bell-bottom pants. That is not what blackface is. Blackface is the instituting of the denigration of black people to say we were nothing but shucking and driving inferior beings. So when we react to blackface, we're not reacting to an act, we're reacting to what the act represents. If you start with the wrong premise, you come to the wrong conclusion. And they're trying to reduce this to an act of boys would be boys. No, it is deeper than that. It is that attitude that causes inferior schools. It is that attitude that causes wholesaling blacks in prison. It is that attitude that causes a disparity in health condition. Because if you can mock us, then you can legislate and govern against us, and nobody will care.
Yes, sir.
That is why people try to hide that they did blackface. Because they know that for you to understand that is to understand their ability to govern. I watched on Friday the governor say that he was sorry, called certain delegates and said he apologized. By morning, he said it wasn't him in the picture. The evidence, he said, was he talked to some classmates that told him he wasn't in the picture. Now, Dr. Richardson, the question I ask is if somebody had to tell you that you wasn't in the picture, that means that you had a reasonable thought that you might have been in the picture. Somebody told me I did something 30 years ago. I know whether it was possible for me to do it. But all right, let's put that aside. Then he comes out. National television. And he said, no, I don't think I was in the picture. I want to remain as governor. Now, I did wear blackface in San Antonio, Texas, on Michael Jackson in the same year. So already we've established in the same year you were a blackface user.
That's right, Doc.
had a problem with that is, first of all, if you were accused of being a bank robber, your defense in court would not be, I didn't rob Bank of America, I robbed Wells Fargo. Either way, you're a bank robber. So whether you black-faced in Virginia or black-faced in San Antonio, you are a black-face user. Why didn't you, if you've grown, and we've all had to grow, and we've all made mistakes, but if you really grew, why didn't you tell us that earlier in your career? And say, we need to grow and heal. Why did you wait till somebody exposed it? Well, I would suspect that you felt if you exposed it, you wouldn't have got 87% of the black vote. Which means that people voted for you that were ill-informed and therefore with new information, they have a right to say, wait a minute, can someone that comes from that background and not disclose it govern health care, voting, education? That's what this ain't about. You, this is about a standard of people that have had to struggle since they brought us to this state 400 years ago for equality and fairness. Now, the media is asking me, well, what about Fairfax? First of all, any accusation made should be fully investigated. This woman ought not be disrespected, but neither should Fairfax. But they have a different set of facts that they're presenting. Don't confuse that with the fact that the governor and attorney general have admitted to what they did. There ain't no dispute about that. There are those that say, well, wait a minute. We got to worry about what's going to happen to the party. Well, I ran president, Democratic Party. I'm a Democrat. But I'm worried about my people before I'm worried about the party. I heard the imam talking about his grandchild. My daughter gave me my first grandchild about 4 weeks ago. When he becomes of age and says to me, Granddad, in the 400th anniversary commemorating when they brought our people here as slaves, and they had a sitting governor that out of his own mouth said he blackfaced, what did you do? I'm not going to tell him I had to save the party. I'm going to say in the name of those that couldn't fight back when they were chained and shackled in Jamestown, I got up and I stood up. Don't reduce this to some political football. This is about the integrity and dignity of a people that had their faces put in the mud too long. And if you really want to help heal, you've got to first deal with the injury that's been caused. You can't reconcile till we know what we're reconciling about. We are reconciling white supremacy. We're reconciling inequality. And until we put that on the table, then we cannot talk about reconciliation. And that's what I want us to understand. We cannot become like those we fight, but we can't let this go. 1 minute is Charlottesville. Next minute is blackface. Virginia was the main port funded years ago, and it keeps popping up in Virginia today. They march neo-Nazis against Jews in Charlottesville. And the president of the United States said they will find people on both sides. Why were they marching? Because some young whites and blacks said, take down the statues of Confederacy. Why would we march against statues of dead folks and not hold accountable living folks today? So we must all be accountable. We all have said and done. I've said things I shouldn't have said. Mrs. Coretta Scott King told me, Al, you keep using the N-word, you keep calling people names. You cannot be like that and continue in the King tradition. And I apologize, wrote a book about it, and have grown. And if the governor wants to repent and grow, if the attorney general want to repent and grow, good. And the best example of that is to say, I am resigning and I'm going to tour and tell people that I gave up my seat for a greater seat. But you can't commit an injury and then say, but I'm going to hold everything I got as business as usual. If you sin, you must pay for the sin. We cannot sit here at this moment in American history and make it normal that folks black-faced. 1984, the year the governor said he did the Michael Jackson blackface. Michael Jackson was on what they call the Jackson's Victory Tour in 1984. For y'all that weren't even born in 84, some of y'all weren't born in 94. Michael Jackson was the biggest pop star in the world. Bill Cosby had the hottest sitcom on television. Reverend Jesse Jackson ran for president and won the Democratic primary in Virginia. There was a white backlash to all of that. In 84. We had jumped on many of the artists and said, now that y'all going mainstream, don't forget black promoters. Michael Jackson met and said, Reverend Al, I've known you a long time. Me and him were not that far in age. He said, we will make sure the community is involved. I want you to head the community team. I did all 32 cities with Michael. I saw all over this country white kids wearing Michael Jackson Thriller outfits and high water breeches and boots and wearing gloves. I saw white kids packing stadiums that they never did for a black artist. I saw white kids sleep in the lobby of the hotel where Michael stayed, wearing the glove that Michael would wear. But I never saw one white kid with blackface on. And then he went on into saying, you know, I only put a little bit because you know how hard it is to wipe that off? How do you know how hard it is to take it off? So we are in a crisis of where we stand in terms of reconciling. And we cannot be like those that we oppose. Same week, this actor Liam Neeson says that he found a loved one had been raped and was raped by a black man. And he said he went and hung out at some of the bars hoping to get in an altercation because he wanted to kill any black man. And he said he felt terrible about that now, and he was bad about it. What I'm saying is, We can't blame every white for what the governor did or what the attorney general did. We're not going to become haters fighting hate, which is why I'm glad that some of our white faith leaders and others are standing with us. But they need to stand with us to say to the governor that you can be a great instrument by sacrificing your personal political ambition and showing that you really grow. Let me say this to the legislators that are sitting around worried about the party. And I am one that wants to see the right party and the right progress, but let's not cheapen the integrity of a community. Let's vote our conscience and what is best for the people in the state, as our representative, as our delegate so eloquently spoke. Because don't ever forget now that when we talk about 400 years ago, when they brought us and enslaved us, it was a slave trade. They traded to own us. And they traded with some that looked like us. 400 years ago, it was slave traders. Don't get down in the Capitol 400 years later and become blackface traders and start trading on the insult and the pain of your people. 400 years later, stand up and represent something, or get out of the way and let these young folks lead it. Time to have some backbone. It's time to have some courage. The only reason you are in office is some black folks that didn't sell out and that didn't trade and that marched and went to jail and shed blood that sponsored your career. You don't have the right to spit in their face and cut a deal in Richmond. Us, making us minstrels. One of the speakers talked about it right, birth of a nation, mocking us. I didn't only know Michael well, a man who took me as a son. My father left when I was young. Was the godfather of Soul James Brown. James Brown used to tell me how early in his career they couldn't even use the dressing room in the theaters they performed in. They had to get dressed in the band bus and run to the stage and come off the stage sweating, because they were just there to entertain whites that they couldn't stay in the same hotel with, mocking us. I look at all of those entertainers. I just spoke last year to Aretha Franklin's funeral, all of the pain that they went through. And you put blackface on and mock us. Well, we in the chapel somewhere in the Bible. I read how they mocked the captives. And they mocked them by saying, why don't you sing one of those songs of Zion? Why don't you entertain us? We like to hear y'all hum and moan. Why don't you moonwalk for us? And the answer is, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I come to Richmond to tell the governor that I'm not going to be your minstrel. I'm not going to accept your insult. I don't care what you say about Al Sharpton. I'm going to sing the Lord's song. We are not no inferiors. We are the children of God, equal to anybody else. Governor, I understand you taking days to reflect. Attorney General, I understand you thinking. Well, There was a leader in the Bible, political leader, named Nebuchadnezzar. But one day, in the middle of a gathering, there was some writing on the wall. Mene, mene, tekel, apophi. With all the power of the state, Nebuchadnezzar couldn't read the writing. He sent for his wise men. They couldn't read the writing. He sent for his high priest. They couldn't read the writing. And he remembered there was somebody they had incarcerated, somebody that they had punished, somebody they had marginalized, somebody they had thrown away, and said, go get Daniel, because Daniel maybe can interpret the writing. And Daniel came from the class and the race that was despised, and he looked up at the writing and said, oh, I can tell you what it says. God has numbered your days and is finished. Well, I understand, Mr. Governor, that you're reflecting. You're thinking about it. Maybe you don't understand what happened. So I flew out of New York to tell you. That your political days is over. Go on to another life as a healer and as one that is committed, because God will make a way for his children. Truth crushed to earth shall rise again. No lie can live forever.